It moved aside, and Costain stumbled down a single step behind his host. The door and gate creaked behind him, and he stood blinking in a small foyer. It took him a moment to realize that the figure he now stared at was his own reflection in a gigantic pier glass that extended from floor to ceiling. "Atmosphere," he said under his breath, and chuckled as he followed his guide to a seat. He faced Lafleur across a small table for two and peered curiously around the dining room. It was no size at all, but the half-dozen guttering gas jets, which provided the only illumination, threw such a deceptive light that the walls flickered and faded into uncertain distance. There were no more than 8 or 10 tables about, arranged to ensure the maximum privacy. All were occupied, and the few waiters serving them moved with quiet efficiency. In the air were a soft clash and scrape of cutlery and a soothing murmur of talk. Costain nodded appreciatively. Lafleur breathed an audible sigh of gratification. "I knew you would share my enthusiasm," he said. "Have you noticed, by the way, that there are no women present?" Costain raised inquiring eyebrows. "Sbirro," said Lafleur, "does not encourage members of the fair sex to enter the premises, and I can tell you his method is decidedly effective. I had the experience of seeing a woman get a taste of it not long ago. She sat at a table for not less than an hour waiting for service, which was never forthcoming."
"Didn't she make a scene?"
"She did." Lafleur smiled at the recollection. "She succeeded in annoying the customers, embarrassing her partner, and nothing more."
"And what about Mr. Sbirro?"
"He did not make an appearance. Whether he directed affairs from behind the scenes or was not even present during the episode, I don't know. Whichever it was, he won a complete victory. The woman never reappeared, nor, for that matter, did the witless gentleman who, by bringing her, was really the cause of the entire contretemps."
"A fair warning to all present," laughed Costain.
A waiter now appeared at the table. The chocolate dark skin, the thin, beautifully molded nose and lips, the large liquid eyes, heavily lashed, and the silver-white hair so heavy and silken that it lay on the skull like a cap, all marked him definitely as an East Indian of some sort, Costain decided. The man arranged the stiff table linen, filled two tumblers from a huge cut-glass pitcher, and set them in their proper places.
"Tell me," Lafleur said eagerly, "is the special being served this evening?"
The waiter smiled regretfully and showed teeth as spectacular as those of the majordomo. "I am so sorry, Sire. There is no special this evening." Lafleur's face fell into lines of heavy disappointment. "After waiting so long, it's been a month already, and I hope to show my friend here. You understand the difficulties, Sire."
"Of course, of course."
Lafleur looked at Costain sadly and shrugged. "You see, I had in mind to introduce you to the greatest treat Sbirro's offers, but unfortunately, it isn't on the menu this evening."